ask me and you can ask any question. So I will talk about the evolution of Agni Photovoltaic, and I belong to CSIR National Physical Laboratory, New Delhi. So the first question it comes to our mind is, why do we need photovoltaic energy? So probably today you are enjoying the luxury of having the electricity, but in the future it may not be possible. You may not get it. Why? Because you know there is one of the statistics projection, how the consumption of energy we are doing. So you can see that the most important part is this energy consumption rate. You can see in 2001 it was about 13.5 terawatt. In 2050 it can reach about 27.6 terawatt, and in 21,000 it will reach 43 terawatt. Also you can see carbon emission rate increases. You have more carbon into the atmosphere and more carbon dioxide. Probably our world will be more difficult to live because of the global warming. Another thing is that if you have this kind of situation in your, you have to face, if you have a earthquake, or if you have in Japan they have this kind of huge problem. In this problem you are cut off with electricity completely. Now you don't have any electricity access, then you cannot live without electricity for a long time. Then you need the solar energy. So the nature has created sun, and we should harness the energy from nature. So every hour the sun is taking, is giving us 173 petawatt of petawatts of energy. So it's a very huge energy. It is about 10,000 times more than power than the CU's population. And this is a graph of the solar energy. You can see this is the maximum energy is concentrated in the visible and IR region, and a very small part is goes to the far IR region. Upper atmosphere, the value of the energy per watt square meter is 1366, but on the Earth surface it is about 1000 watt per meter square. So it's a quantum conversion process. You have three main region. One is the ultraviolet region, then is the visible region, where infrared region. So we can divide into three main region where we can get the solar energy. The basic process is very simple. We have a photon which strikes the surface. It is converted into you have a hole and an electron. Electron move in one direction, hole in one direction. Then you can have a circuit, you can take out the energy in form of light. The major issue with the PV technology is three: cost, stability and efficiency. And a balance of the three is required to achieve the success in the commercial level. And from a solar point of view, you can see in a solar system, you have a solar cell. Then you have a lot of things come with it. So the entire cost of the solar is not only solar cell, but you have to also calculate the cost of all these system, and all these system together make a solar system for your energy need. And if you look at the energy payback and payoff, you can see that if you put the energy solar panel in your house, less than 5 years you can recover the cost. And after recovering cost, you can have a free electricity, or you can sell the electricity. So it is a very big advantage to have solar energy at home. For example, this you can see, this is a solar panel. So the current price is in India is almost $1000 per kilowatt. So it's a very cheap price for the entire system. And this is the future concept. This is what we want to do in the future. We want to make the entire city run by the solar energy, and that is what government is doing. This is the first practical solar cell. It's a Bell system, and these three scientists devised it and it published the first data. And this is nowadays you can see that what kind of we can produce. You can produce a large amount of area of solar cell, and you can see that how many solar cell we have. Classification, you have silicon type, then you have semiconductor, then emerging noble material. So silicon, you can see the efficiency goes up to 25.6 approximately, and in this case is semiconductor, you can have efficiency of 21.5 in case of CIGS, and this 3, 4, 5 compound you can have 28% energy. And what we work is, we work in this area. This is our area we work, and this you can see that we have four kind of cell. These are thin film solar cell, tire sensitized solar cell with the maximum efficiency recorded is about 12%. Then you have quantum dot is approximately 10%, and perovskite is almost reaching more than 20%, and organic solar cell is over 10%. So what happens in a solar cell? In a solar cell you have light photons strike a surface, you have a electron excited to the upper state, so it's called exciton. So it's a bounded pair. So there are two kinds of exciton. There are two kinds. One is in the inorganic semiconductor, one is in the organic semiconductor. In inorganic semiconductor, because the dielectric constant is very high, so the exciton have a very, very little energy. So they can be separated very easily, like silicon. So they have a very little binding energy of few milli electron volt. But in case of organic material, you have a very, very low dielectric constant. So the binding energy is very high. and binding energy is about 0.3 volt. That's why the excitons are very close to each other, and recombination chances are very, very high. That's why it is very difficult to have high efficiency in organic solar cell as compared to silicon solar cell. These are the parameters we deal with solar cell. You have, these are the graph. You can see the dark graph is always like this, like a diode. When we have light, you have this kind of graph where you have a voltage VOC here, open circuit voltage. Here you get short circuit current, and this between them we go draw the power, which is a maximum power point, and the area that covers the maximum power point is called the fill factor. Now this is the, you know, solar technology. You see this is a very famous graph, and you can see that maximum efficiency is about 50%, and this is only obtained in case of like multi-junction solar cell. But in case of single junction solar cell, you are below 25%. You are almost here. This silicon, and now this is, you can see the organic solar cell, and perovskite has actually, you can see, jumped to that level. It's come to 20%. The question is why we solar cell has a very low efficiency. So we have to go to SQ limit. SQ limit says that you cannot have about more than 35% of efficiency. So this is the graph. You can see all the solar cell has efficiency within that region, and the reason for that is that you can see that whenever there is a, you have a solar light, you have a problem with the band gap. So the absorption of light depend upon the band gap. Now you can have only one band gap at a time. So you can see that if you have a high energy photon coming, then it will go up, then it will radiate and lose this energy, and then it will reach the upper layer of the like conduction band. So that energy is wasted. Now again, if the energy is very low, you can see that you cannot excite with that energy, you cannot excite any electron with that energy. So all this energy is wasted, and because of that you cannot extract all the energy. So you have to, it depend upon which, you can only extract energy from one particular area of the three. And you can see, for example, power losses in solar cell. You can see that you have, if you 100 milliwatt per centimeter square light is coming, so you can see that 21 milliwatt is belong to the below band gap absorption, it cannot be used. 31 milliwatt is excess photon energy, it's lost. So what is available is approximately 44 milliampere current. Let's say voltage is available 1.0 volt. There is a recombinations in the solar cells, lot of recombination because of the high binding energy. So open circuit is ideal. Open circuit, it comes down to 0.6, and again the current available theoretically is 44 milliampere. Then you have collection efficiency problem, incomplete absorption, top surface reflection, and top contact shedding. Then it comes again down to 28 milliampere even without using, just it's a calculation. And then you have series resistance losses, and so fill factor is about not 100%, it is about 0.7 to 0.8%. So cell output, even without using a solar cell, you can assume if 100 milliwatt light is coming, you will always be able to use about 14 milliwatt of light. So what people do is they use multiple solar cell. They use a solar cell which has a three different kind of band gap. So you can see that one band gap, two band gap, three band gap, and they put, like say, you know, there are four junction devices. You can see 1.8 electron volt, 1.4, 1.0, 0.7. So they from that point of view, you can extract a lot of light from the solar energy, and you can calculate the theoretical efficiency should be around 50%. You can see that they used in practically uses these three kinds of solar cell, which can get energy from 300 to 1800. This is example of multifunction solar cell. You can see that this is a one cell, then there is a separator, then you have another cell, separator, another cell. So there are different cells. So what happens, you know? You have one junction, let's say efficiency 30%. Now you put two junction, efficiency reaches to 42%, and three junction 49%, four junction 53%, and if you have infinite junction, the maximum efficiency you can reach is 68%. So people only prefer three junction. They don't want to go more than three because there is no point in wasting energy and time in going for more than. So this is the maximum people try. So why organic materials? You know, organic material is basically done by organic chemists. So what they do is we have two kind of organic materials, which are low mobility they create, and there is high mobility. So low mobility polymers, they can be used as organic solar cell, and high mobility polymer, they can be used as organic light emitting diode. And you see OLED has come from that point of view. If everybody has a OLED TV in their home, and this is because of our chemist who has done so much hard work. So you know, conducting polymer was first discovered in 1977 by you know, these three guys. You recognize them, these three guys: Alan Heger, Shirakawa, McDermott. These three one, and they got Nobel Prize in 2000 for that one. And after that, people tried to have solar cell, organic solar cell, OPV devices in 1986. So these are the initial development. and I had the opportunity to work with them for 1 year with Allen Heger. So these are the development, you can see these are development of solar cell from 1970 to 2016. First developed discovery, you know, can say the discovery of conducting polymer. Then your invention of, which is a very important invention of PCBM. And then in 2011, we got the 10.1% efficiency. And from 2011-16, we have 12.2% efficiency. These are the records we have. So what is a special about polymers? You can see in a polymer, you have different kind of conjugated chain. And which you, conjugation means you have pi bonding. This you can see pi bonding, and the electricity is governed by this pi bonding. And you different kind of conductivity you can see here, different from insulator to conductor. And the basic advantage they have is they can have a different colors. Like CIGS cannot have color, silicon has no color, but this solar cell has different kind of colors. So you can make, you know, roll to roll process, you can make print newspaper, you can print a newspaper. You cannot print a newspaper with silicon solar cell. You cannot print with CIGS, you can print with this solar cell. And they are lightweight, you can have different colors. So like, you know, you have different advantages of this organic solar cell. So I have listed these advantages here, you can see. And you can see that beautiful colors, you know, this only is possible in organic. It is not possible in any other material. So you can see, many in the world, there people are using this kind of system. Recently, the, you know, this Heliotech, they started painting the building outside with organic material. And they want this kind of mass production target. They are targeting very high production. And also you can see that there is a Swiss Tech convention where you put dyes in the solar cell because they have such a beautiful colors, you know, and they can use the glass. And you can see around the world, the most of the building you can see are made up of glass. Everybody, maybe TFR also you want something or you have something which is, many things are made up of glass. And you want to use the glass and you want to extract energy out of it, then you have to use the like organic solar cells. So the solar window is the concept we are working right now. We are trying to develop a solar window. In the future, Samsung is also trying to create some kind of these devices. In the next 3-4 years, you will see Samsung will bring out these kind of devices and you will see in the market, and they are working based upon the OLED, and they have a solar cell also inside, inbuilt solar cell. And you can also see, saw this quantum OLED in the market now coming with Samsung, and it is becoming very popular, and it is based upon, you know, quantum dots, which can give you much more resolution. Another is perovskite solar cell. You heard about perovskite solar cell. The maximum efficiency is 22% now. They basically work on DSSC type solar cell. You have counter electrode, you have transparent electrode, you have a TiO2 layer. They are also using porous TiO2 layer. So once hole is transported here and TiO2 electrons is transported to TiO2, this is the structure of perovskite. So you have the different, you can see CS3 and S3, it's a basic compound. So in 2006, you know, the maximum efficiency in perovskite solar cell is 2.2%. In 2009, it is to 3.8%, and now you can see from this all this hard work, you can have efficiency of 22%. So perovskite came from DSSC. DSSC solar cell is basically nothing but you have a TCO layer, then you have TiO2 layer, dense layer, then you have porous TiO2 layer, then you put your active layer here. So they use the same process. So what the evolution of DSSC? They use the perovskite. You know, first they use the same DSSC structure in which a dense TiO2 layer, then the porous TiO2 layer. And their perovskite material, and again they found that they don't need this thing, so they reduce slowly, and finally, you know, the best efficiency is obtained when they don't use this porous TiO2 layer. They only use the dense TiO2 layer, and the efficiency is approximately 22%. And you can see now they are making tandem solar cell with the perovskites and silicon solar cell, and efficiency is almost, you know, you can see how much they are reaching, almost 22-23%, and they are targeting about more than 25%. So in OPV technology, what we focus is we focus on the three things: efficiency, like cost and lifetime. And we have a problem. This is the biggest problem we have. You know, stability is our biggest problem. So we have to deal with it, and this is we are dealing with it. So I will talk about now on organic solar cell only. So you know, in organic solar cell, you have a HOMO and LUMO. When you put light, I will show again. No, it will come back. And then you stop. Then you stop. Yeah. Again. again you can tell what you want. Can you ask? Visible IR and UV part, there are three parts. It depends upon your band gap. Maximum region is the maximum efficiency you get in the visible region, because the energy level is very high. Here you are talking about, right? You can see that maximum is here, so you can get maximum energy where maximum photons are coming. And in IR region, you have almost no energy. You will not get any energy. So I talk about organic solar cell. So you have, like, you know, you have a HOMO LUMO. When you put the light, it is excited. So electron is excited from the excited states to go to LUMO. And you can see in a solar cell, there is a donor and you have an acceptor. You mix together. So this is the HOMO LUMO of donor. This is HOMO LUMO acceptor. And this difference between this one, it gives you the VOC, open circuit voltage, is coming from the difference of the HOMO of the donor and the LUMO of the acceptor. And the minus 0.3 is the binding energy of the exciton. So we have to focus a lot of on the work function and the HOMO LUMO, because the VOC depend upon strongly on the HOMO LUMO. So we have, when we make a solar cell, we have to very much focus on the what kind of HOMO LUMO we have. So in a solar cell, you can see that you have a donor acceptor, you have a light is going, you know, like that, electron excited. Then they go to the interface, and interface they are dissociated and you give the energy, right? This is simple concept. And there are three kind of organized photovoltaic solar cell. One is only one layer in one with two electrode around it, and another we put two different layer, one is donor, one is acceptor. And in the bulk heterojunction, you have both are mixed together, donor acceptor are mixed together. So what is the difference between the three? You can see in a single electron solar cell, there is a very high probability of recombination. Very high probability, that's why the efficiency is very low. Then first bilayer organic solar cell by tongue. So next is bulk heterojunction solar cell. So bulk heterojunction, you mix the donor acceptor together so that you know the excitons don't come to the junction. You take junction to the exciton. So blend of the acceptor donor. So the distance between donor and acceptor is about 10 nanometer, and the exciton is easily reached to the interface. So there are two kinds of solar cell, organic solar cell. One is normal organic solar cell, another is inverted structure. You can see in the normal, you have hole blocking layer and you have, you know, electron blocking layer, and in the inverted, you have opposite. So what we do is we have different kind of donors, for example, this polymer, and we have different kind of acceptor, and we mix them together. We make this blend, and this blend is our active layer. And what we do different kind of processing. We can do spin coating. We can do doctor blading, we can do inkjet printing, we can do dipping, and we can also evaporate in the vacuum. But we always prefer spin coating. And this is the possible printing technique in the future people are going to use. This is the roll-to-roll process now being used. So what about OPV polymers, how they are evolving? You can see this is a P3HT, it was developed in 1990s. People are working, organic chemists work a lot of things, they want to do new things. But they don't achieve the result. So what happened is that you can see that this is 1990s, and you can see there is a very little difference between two structures. You can see only this, they have this, you know, motifs added, and it took 10 years for them to achieve that kind of structure. You know, it took how much time it takes, you know, 10 years. I don't know why they took 10 years. So it takes that much time to get 8%. And you can see from this structure, now 2011, they again use the same structure. You can see here. They use only fluorine group around it, and what the efficiency they got? 11%, in which maybe they make a 1 million molecule to try, but you know, simple is better. So if you go for a simple thing, you can achieve very easily this kind of. You can see that recent paper is with 11% efficiency. It is again the case of PTB7. PTB7 was discovered in 2007 around, and after I think it took around 5 or 7 years to people to realize that they don't need to worry, they can modify it. So this efficiency was 8%, and after they just changed this oxygen molecule with this thiophene molecule, and they could achieve 10.5%. So this is how organic chemistry works. And again I show you, this is PCDBT, this is a very good organic, this is good, very good for solar cell. Now what do you do? If you flip it like this, you can see this, flip it, it become a very, very highly conducting. It is not good for solar cell, it is good for OLED. And so now recently Alan Heger published this work, I will show you how much mobility they got, you know. The mobility was going up to 21. This is a extremely high mobility for polymer, and you just have to, you know, tweak little bit, you know, just play with the molecule and you can achieve this one, and this is how they did it. Because mostly they are low band gap. The band gap is very low. And in the OLED, you do opposite to the solar cell. In a solar cell you want to create excitone, and in a OLED you want to combine them. So when you have high mobility, you have less resistance. So if you have less resistance, you can get high lumens value. Recombination rate, you can get high luminescence, because when you have high mobility, you can have a high recombination rate, and then you can have the high luminescence value. Mobility of the polymer, they are low band gap polymer. You have to have a low band gap polymer for OLED. No, mobility of the polymer I am saying. No, I mean not mobility, like yes, you are right, charge carrier. So it mobility is very high in a polymer because of the low band gap. You can have easily charge is excited very easily to the excited state. I am not a chemist, so I cannot tell you. This is our beautiful chemist play, you know. We don't know, chemistry totally different. This is my observation as a physicist, that what I found wonderful is that you flip little bit as a chemist and you can achieve now this kind of result. This is just for showing to you that how it is happening. And I don't know why chemists wait such a long time. I just wanted to show why chemists wait for such a long time. It almost took 5 to 7 years to realize that one. So my research I will talk about to you. You can see we have this kind of solar, this kind of, you know, cryo-based glove box. We have almost 2 cryo glove box in NPL, and this is in the clean room. This is the clean room we have. So this is the first paper I published in JAX in 2011, where I used Lamersys graphene quantum dot for organic photovoltaic devices. And you can see this is the, and then you can see this is the, we use for both for OLED devices and we use for solar cell, and we got an efficiency of approximately about 1%, 1.14%. The limitation of photovoltaic photocurrent in OSC is you have a problem with the diffusion of excitons at the interface and charge separation. These are the 2 biggest problems we are facing. So what we do is we collect a high number of photogenerated carriers, use small band gap polymers, and you try to increase the electrical conductivity. We want to improve the crystallinity by annealing, and we use the large donor acceptor interface. Other than that, we can have to absorb the more light, we use tandem structure. But tandem structure are very expensive in organic, you know, it is very expensive to create them. This is a tandem solar cell, for example. You can see you have 2 different solar cells. One is P3HT ICBA, one is PCDTBT and PCBM, and you can see that these 2 tandem solar cells give you double energy absorption. But we developed a concept in 2011, this is a 2016 paper, we developed a concept of Tannady blend solar cell for the first time. These are the, we worked in 2011 for the first time, there was no paper at the time of Tannady blend solar cell. And we filed a patent, and because of the patent we had to wait for a very long time. This is another patent, and we wait for a very long time up to 2015 to publish the paper, you know. We published this paper in 2015, we wait for 3 years to publish the results. So this is what happened in a FRET. In a normal electron transfer, you have a, you know, excitation of the electron to the higher state, electron transfer is there, but in the FRET there is no electron transfer. You have a charge which is excited to the higher state, it come back to the lower state. When it come back, it transfer the energy to the another polymer, and the electron excited from another polymer. So there is no electron transfer. So for Froster transfer to take place, you should have a distance between the donor and acceptor should be less than 10 nanometer. So this is what we do. We do polymer mixing and optical characterization. You have 2 polymer, you can see this is a donor polymer, this is acceptor polymer. Normal mixing we do, you can see a lot of mixing is there, we can have joint absorption of the 2 polymer. So what we did is we did the PL of the, you can see we did the PL of the mixing. You can see this is PCTBT, this is PTB7, but when we mix them together, so this is donor, we mix more donor, the acceptor PL is increasing, that is indication of Fret effect. Second we use is, we use a donor, this is a donor PCTBT, this is the PL decay of PCTBT, and after we do the, we mix the PTB7 into that, you have quenching of the donor. So this is because of the Fret effect. I will explain you another term. You can see here you have PCTBT, this is the decay time 475 picosecond. You have PTB7 which is a decay time of 64 picosecond. When you mix them together, it quench, PCTBT is quench, and it has a decay time of 20 picosecond, it because there is a Fret transfer and an electron is excited. So already there is an electron with PTB7, there is another electron. So instead of one electron, you have more electron and more current. And we have to, we calculate the quantum yield. From the quantum yield, we can calculate the theoretical distance of the Frost-Shannon distance. And we use transient absorption to investigate the charge transfer. It has a lot of advantages, you can see. It is a time scale of 10 to the minus 15 second. You can see the basic of TA measurement. You have a ground state, you have a pump, first pulse is coming from the, then the probe is coming, the probe is measuring what is the state of the higher states. So this is excited state. So this is, you can see this is a ground state bleaching. You excite, and then you have another pulse is coming, it will, it is measure the ESA absorption. So you have main loop two peaks, ESA and ground state bleaching. Sometimes you have stimulated emission because of the, it fall back again here. So what is happening here, again I explained to you, this is the donor absorption, this is the acceptor absorption. So donor emission is, this is red is the donor emission. Now donor emission is actually overlapping with the absorption of the acceptor. So because of that, the energy which is given here is absorbed by this acceptor, and its PL intensity is going to rise, and this overlapping region is called the Fret region. And you can see there is a small, in the overlap region is slightly shifted to the right side because of the different like peak value, and we will see later on. So what we did is we transient absorption spectra we took, this is the transient absorption of PCTBT, this is the transient absorption of PTB7, and this is the transient absorption of the mixed polymer. You can see the main important part is that this is excited state absorption. You can see for the PCTBT about 10 milliod, for the PTB7 is about 20 milliod, and when you mix them together it comes to 40 milliod. That shows that there is a charge transfer, there is a energy transfer there. This is again, you can see here, it shows that the very strong excited state absorption shows there is a energy transfer. And here what we observe in this area is there is a shift also. Shift on the peak value, the center value, that matches with our result which we got about in this one. We did the solar cell fabrication. You can see solar cell fabrication, JV characteristic, you all know, maybe aware of JV characterization. If we have PCTBT, this is PCTBT, this is PTB7, and you mix them together, you get different kind of value of I and V, and this is the EQ data, and this is the result we got. We have about in PTB7 we have 6.6 efficiency, PCTBT 6.1, and we mix them together, we can get up to 8.8% efficiency. In 2015 we published this data, and at that time these were the one of the highest efficiency obtained, you can see here. Again we worked on lumescent cathode buffer layer. So we, when this is normal zinc oxide, but when we mix sodium into zinc oxide it becomes lumescent. I will explain later why it becomes lumescent. So this is the film we make from the zinc oxide. This is the UV absorption. You can see this is the normal zinc oxide. This is the zinc oxide after mixing with sodium. Like you can see that it is cutting off the UV very efficiently. And this is normal ITO here. And you can see this is the absorption of the zinc oxide. And this is the emission of the zinc oxide. This is the absorption of the our small molecule, which is active layer. So you can see that zinc, the light goes from zinc oxide, is absorbed, it emits the its emission, and this emission is absorbed by the active layer, and then you have absorption rise, and then you have a PL rise also. Then we do transient absorption. You can see that this is the DTS polymer with luminescent ZNO, without ZNO, you can just see the difference how much excited absorption is increased. So we make devices like that. You can see that when you mix ZNO, you create a deep state in the sodium, because of sodium, and because of that the electron which is excited here doesn't come down to the ground state, it goes to this state, creating a different yellowish color. So we can see ZNO with ZNO efficiency is current, you can see 15, and it is increasing significantly with the addition of LZNO. Then again we work with photophysics of PTB7, we instead of using two donor material, we take two acceptor material. But in that case we found a lot of issue, we could not get a good result. You can see we mixed two of them and we could not get a, you can see the PC does not increase much, it increased very not significantly. So this is the transient absorption, you can see this is PCD PTB7 and we mix different kind of ICB in that, we got different kind of excited state, but we could not get a very good results with that. And this is FM which we mix two acceptor, you can see that this is not really very good data. So we worked a lot on small molecule because polymers have a big problem, polymers have a polydispersity and and you can see that a small molecule has a monodispersity. Polymer has a batch to batch variation and molecular weight, you know, polydispersity and different processing properties difficult to evaluate as compared to a small molecule. So this is somebody has shown polymer molecular weight dependent vertical composition profile. You can see that you can have different molecular weight with different batches, you cannot make a same material you can always have a new kind of material when you make different batch. So this is the first molecule by Allen Higer group developed the first solution process small molecule and published in 2012 in Nature Material, in which they use this molecule. So this is a molecule, you can see that it's called G24. This molecule name was G24, and G24 is because they actually developed 23 molecules which didn't work, and this is the 24th molecule which worked. So they worked for 2 years to get one molecule. Now the problem with that molecule was the nitrogen group, you know, because of nitrogen group whenever they make a device the efficiency is not coming. So they had a big issue with that one, they were using P dot PSS as the whole transport layer. So they wait for 1 year and they couldn't make a device. So when after they realize this nitrogen group is reacting with the P dot PSS, so they use molybdenum, they use MOMX, and they got first result first time. You can see this is their data, they found that P dot PSS react with this molecule, and they got a maximum efficiency which was a world record at that time, you know, they got about 6.7%. So this it is not reacting with the small molecule. Actually what happened, this nitrogen group, this is the molecule they made has a nitrogen group. So when you spin coat on the P dot PSS, P dot PSS we use as a whole transport layer. When we make a device normally, we use P dot PSS polymer as a whole transport layer, which is a very common polymer. So whenever they wanted to make a device, so they use P dot PSS layer on the ITO as a whole transport layer, and they spin coat this polymer, this small molecule. So the nitrogen group of this small molecule reacts with the P dot PSS and it degrades. But they didn't know that, why they didn't know why, what is happening. So they make devices for 1 year and they couldn't get any result. Then they approach Allen Higer with that problem, because Bazan group, this was a Bazan group. They approach Allen Higer, and Allen Higer was making a new system with moly oxide deposition. So they said let's try with moly oxide as a whole transport layer. So they tried moly oxide as a whole transport layer, and for the first time they got 6% efficiency, which was a record, because normally small molecule you can only deposit through vacuum. Before this paper it was not possible to deposit a small molecule by solution processing because they are not soluble. So the first soluble small molecule, that's why it's published in it. So this was here, this is the curve you can see, you got about efficiency of about 6.7%. These are the EQE curve with different condition, you can see how much you have to optimize the solar cells. This is the time image, you can see crystals, you know, they have a lot of crystalline structure. And this is they use some additive to make the better, you know, different additive you have, mixing is very good. This is a distance of about 2 nanometer, very high spacing. This is normally the XRD, which is, and they also check the mobility. Mobility was approximately 0.1, which was the highest at that time for any solar cell molecule. And you can see they got very good efficiency because there is a balance of the P-type or N-type, because this is a high mobility for small molecule. Now then they showed why don't we, and they replaced fluorine. With fluorine, this is the absorption, and they use P.PSS this time, and with P.PSS they got almost the 7% efficiency. They don't need to worry about it. Then we started working after they were doing this work. So we went to, I was in US, so we started working on that molecule. So because the structure of that molecule was not known at that time, only the efficiency. So we were the first one to get this image here. This is the FMH. You can see that this small molecule contains a lot of fibric structure. This is only, this is after mixing with acceptor, and we were the first one to actually give the structure of this molecule using XRD. We were the first one who tell the structure of XRD based upon, this is the out of plane XRD, this is in plane XRD. This gives you the this gives you the stacking, like this is stacking, and this gives you the pi stacking. So this we use to calculate the pi stacking. Mobility also the same, and you can see this is a structure. They later on they published this structure using their own method. You can see the this kind of molecule has two kind of stacking. One is the hexyl stacking, this one, and one is the pi stacking. So the pi overlapping is like this, and hexyl stacking is like this. Is about, this is about 2.2 nanometer, and this is about 0.34 nanometer. This is the molecule. This is, you can see this is a dark field image. This is a bright field image. You can see the how much fabric structure they have. And you can see here, I can show you the structure. You can see that with the EDS, you can measure. This is the pi stacking. Here is the pi stacking of a molecule. And here you cannot see, it's very small. This is hexyl stacking. This hexyl stacking belong to this structure, and this pi stacking belong to this structure. And after mixing, you can see that they become smaller crystal. Crystal become very smaller. And there is a, this pi stacking is a little bit diluted, but it is still very strong. Normally we use DIO material. This is additive used for solar cell, TIO, DIS, this different kind of we use. And you can see when you mix DIO into this this blend, what happens? The ODT you mix is, DIS you mix it, you know, different kind of give you different. This is not good for solar cell. This is very bad morphology. And this is the best morphology. You can see that TIO give you the best homogeneous morphology. This is, you can see, this is without no DIO, this is with DIO. If you don't mix DIO, this is the molecular look. You can see so much of defect is there. When you mix DIO, 0.4%, you can see the fibrous structure is so huge, you know. Again, you can see that compared with the DIO 0.1% with the blend and with this one. So this is the, you can see that first time we showed that because it was not possible to visualize a solar cell. This is our first images. We were the first to demonstrate how the solar cell look like. This all color belong to the donor, and the dark part, which is black part, which belong to the acceptor. We published one paper on, we published another molecule. I'll show you about it. So what we did is, in this molecule, we use silicon. This was the one, this one silicon, and we make two silicon similar like this kind of structure. You can see this is absorption. This is the IV characteristics and EQ spectra, and we could get efficiency of approximately 6.4%. You can see this is a varying efficiency, 6.4% maximum efficiency. We also worked on a new kind of molecule we are working now. I am showing you new data. This is a molecule. You can see how much ordering is there. You can see with TEM how much long range ordering this molecule has, and you can see instead of a circle, you can see there's two distinct peaks. This is, you can see this this is the AFM image of this molecule. You can see long range ordering there, you know, see. Even with the TEM, you can see how much ordering is there. This is after mixing with the acceptor. This is a device structure. We could get efficiency up to 9.1% with this one, and this is a record for us. We also are working on the different kind of donor acceptor combined system with the help of some chemists from IICT. You can see they try to create donor acceptor combinations, and we got a efficiency of approximately 2.4%, which is also a world record. We also making non-fullerene acceptor. You know, non-fullerene acceptor means we don't use this fullerenes. We use polymer as a, or a small molecule as a acceptor, and we could get here, we could get 7% efficiency. We also working with the NCL and they, with combination with them, we could get a, we have a new molecule with efficiency of 6%. Also we have, you can see recently published, again I can show it. This is the advanced functional material, again highly efficient non-fullerene acceptor. We published this data with, you know, this is donor, this is acceptor, these are small molecule system. see this is, we use different conditions, thermally annealed, vacuum dried. We have to try a lot of condition to get the best efficiency. So this is final. You know, organic solar cells have a low material and processing cost and high efficiency. They are very promising for flexible electronics, and organic materials come in many colors and can be transparent also. And selection is based on primary requirement, and I think perovskite is the latest one who attracted and popular for research. And the main problem is stability, and lead problem, lead is the main problem. So I'm thankful to different student, my student who helped me in my research. Thank you. Yeah, Ramakant is here, you know. Please ask any question. No problem, you know. Yes. We want to have order. It should be 10 angstrom. The donor acceptor should be within the 10 angstrom limit, because the lifetime of a exciton is 10 nanometer. So we want a donor, and whenever there is exciton developed in the donor, an acceptor should be about 10 nanometer distance to find it. Yeah. Yeah. We are small molecule and polymer. Polymer has a big problem. Polymer, in case of polymer, you cannot have that kind of order, because there are two kinds of system. One is crystalline, non-crystalline. So when you have crystalline system, you can have very order very easily. But when you have non-crystalline system, you cannot have order. So you have to try many things. You can do annealing, you can do vacuum like annealing. You can use the different additives. But the basic idea is that donor acceptor should be within the 10 nanometer, 10 angstrom, like 10 nanometer. 10 nanometer, 10 nanometer. Within 10 nanometer is maximum transfer can take place. So they make a PN junction. When you mix them, they make a PN junction based upon their homolumo. I showed you one image. The inbuilt potential should be more than the binding energy, and it depends upon the VOC and of the homolumo. So you have a homolumo level between donor acceptor. I showed you one image. I can show you again. So from this also you can see that you whenever you can, I can show you this one. So you have, here you have it, you have a donor, you have acceptor. Between donor acceptor you have an inbuilt charge is built depending upon the difference of how much VOC you have, and VOC is the difference between the LUMO and HOMO. This is called VOC, and this is the inbuilt, it is called inbuilt potential, as large as possible, because VOC, as you can have, you want to have as large as possible, but you have a limit over that, because you have to define your band gap. If you have a larger band gap, if you want larger VOC, then you need a larger band gap. But if you have a large band gap, you will not be able to absorb the light which is lower energy. It's always a balance, you know. I showed you, have you seen this? Whenever you have a PN junction, you know PN junction very well. In a PN junction, you have a depletion layer, right? and you have a p-n junction is formed between them, and this p-n junction has an inbuilt potential, right? So that inbuilt potential, so what? Okay, so again we go back here. Okay, you can see here. Light is going, you know, it is exciting. Now, if this exciton is formed at the interface, right here, where there is a depletion layer, it will be dissociated because of the electric field. If it is close to the interface, right? If it is not close to the interface, it will recombine. That's what happens, right? When you have exciton which is exactly here at this point, because you have electric field at this point, because of the electric field, it will. That's what p-n junction work. P-n diode, you know, diode, how diode works, you know, it dissociate, right? When a charge carrier is exciton is generated at the distance from the interface, it has to travel to the interface. But there is a large probability it will recombine before the interface. So that means that you want to take a junction such that they don't recombine. So what you do is you keep it less than 10 nanometer. This total width of the donor, total width of the acceptor should be less than 10 nanometer so that they don't recombine. So that is what we call as the distance where after that they will recombine. That's what happened in a bulk heterojunction when we mix two of them, and that was the problem here. That is a problem here. There is no driving force. You are asking question, so I just here you can see. Here you know have just your question is here. You have no driving force here because there is no p-n junction. So whatever exciton is generated is recombining. Zero driving force. Here you have a driving force at this interface, right? But only exciton which are generated at the interface can dissociate. All the exciton which is in this region will not be able to go to the interface, so the efficiency is 1%. But what we did here is we combined donor and acceptor such that the interface itself is less than, as I explained right here, you know, this line. If exciton won't come to the junction, take junction to the exciton. That's what we do. So that's what is the reason for this algorithm. Not low mobility, it says to be balanced. Low means less than 10 to the power minus 1, about. What? No. Low means doesn't mean this is a very high mobility. 10 to the power minus 1 is a very high mobility for solar cell. And PTB7, which I 10 to the power minus 4, still it is a very good polymer. Minus 1 is the highest possible. Because mobility, different thing changes with the mobility. This is the limit I am putting, limit that you can have. No, it's not a question of potential, it is a question of application, what application you want. If you want to put on the rooftop, silicon is a better thing. If you want to keep in your pocket and take it, and this organic has option. Depending on that, like your cell phone is using OLED, no? Now OLED is coming to the cell phone, and you are enjoying that very, very shiny, good colors, you know. This is because of this, you know. In the future, you want to have flexible kind of
wearable
devices, then this organic is coming there.